May the Lord help us to commence this morning with singing hymn 1108. Breathe from the gentle south, O Lord, and cheer me from the north. Blow on the treasures of thy word, and call the spices forth. Hymn 1108.
Together from the most holy word of God, two psalms, Psalms 115 and 136. Psalms 115 and 136. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us, he will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and for evermore. Praise the Lord. Turn now to Psalm 136. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth for ever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth for ever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth for ever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth for ever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth for ever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth for ever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth for ever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth for ever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth for ever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth for ever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth for ever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth for ever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth for ever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth for ever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth for ever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth for ever. and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth for ever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth for ever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth for ever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth for ever. Even the heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth for ever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth for ever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth for ever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth for ever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us those portions of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, once again, through thy mercy, thou hast spared our lives to gather once again in thy courts on this another Sabbath day. Thou hast not cut us off as our sins deserve. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. We're still upon praying ground. The day of grace has not ended. The door of mercy is not closed. And oh, that door of mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. Yea, the beggar poor at mercy's door, all that might be found there, each one of us. The beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Oh, until the Spirit works in our heart, we know not that we're wretched and poor and blind and lame. We know not our great need. But oh, when the Spirit shines within, then we have to say, do we not? Oh, we are vile. I am vile. And we find, do we not? We have to come with the apostle of old and with that confession of sinners of whom I am chief. I am chief. And so may it please thee. We might be brought there, each one of us, to that true confession and godly sorrow for our sins. With a broken heart and a contrite spirit which thou wilt not despise. Or leave us not to just a form which may satisfy the flesh. A form, yes, the outward forms of coming and going to thy house. Ah, some of us who look back to those years when it was no more than that, a form of godliness which had no power. But oh, blessed be God, when thou dost lay the axe to the root of that which is no more than a form. And blessed be God, when thou dost graft that one into the living vine. Ah, yes, grafted into the living vine. Be found amongst those that have heard the voice of the shepherd and entered in through the door which is Christ. And so we plead, do bring us each there that we might be found amongst those that have heard the voice of the shepherd But the certainty is this, is it not? I know my sheep, and they shall hear my voice. And so may it please, might be found amongst those, the sheep of Christ's fold, chosen in eternity past and called in time. And so we plead as we're brought to another Sabbath day. Oh, now look, thou dost look upon the heart. And for those yet with just a form, oh, may it please thee, lay the axe of the root, cut it up root and branch. They might know what it is to smite upon the breast and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then to have their ear bored to the doorpost. Ah, yes, their ear bored to the doorpost. They have to come out of necessity. They come with a living desire to hear what the Lord might speak. They come longing for thee to speak and to say unto their soul, I am thy salvation. And so we plead. We fast, hasten on, and we need to be prepared for that day when time shall be no more, and that preparation must be of thee. Ah, naturally, man gives no thought to eternity, tries to put that thought off. The last days of his life, he shuns that thought. Ah, for eternity is a tremendous sound to a sinner doomed to die. But all to be found amongst those that are longing and seeking for that better country. They have no resting place here below. But all with that prospect, that glorious prospect, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come again, I shall receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so we plead, do prepare us each for that day. May we know what it is to come with those lines upon our lips. Not just upon our lips, but coming from the heart. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience, clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Take us each in hand, O Lord. Work mighty in our hearts that which we cannot do of ourselves, to change the heart and renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. And, O Lord, we plead, thou knowest each one's path and all that pertains to it. And perhaps some have wandered. They're found amongst those wandering sheep. Lord, thou canst put forth thy mighty hand and bring them back once again to thy feet. Ah, we're prone to wander, even as a hymn writer put it, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take, O take my heart and seal it from thy courts above. But all we plead then, do have mercy upon us each one according to their path and that which thou hast appointed for them. As they are found in thy courts, they may have come up with all the cares of this life and those things which have so troubled and tried them. Oh, we've known it likewise. We've entered into thy courts and we felt like Martha, careful and troubled about many things. But oh, if it could please thee, lifting above life's inferior things for a moment, in having to roll that burden upon thee. Yes, there are those burdens and cares of life. In having to cast that burden upon thee. And may they yet prove that all these things are under thy wise government. Are under thy wise government. And so to remember such we plead. Ah, yes, careful and troubled about many things. Ah, Lord, thou knowest also that have entered into thy courts this day, and thou bowed down. Bow down, it is a day of darkness and distress, a day of, the trial of their faith. Lord, there are those times and seasons when faith is sorely tried. We've likewise proved it so. But oh, may they prove that, yes, they may be in that path of trial and tribulation, when they wonder whether they have any faith at all, and the adversary is at the right hand to resist them. Lord, may they prove that thou art at hand and not afar off. May they prove the promise to be true, for he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember also those that perhaps they feel the mud-walled cottage shake, heart and flesh begin to fail. Or may they feel those everlasting arms underneath them. The God of Jeshurun writeth upon the heaven in their help, and his excellence upon the skies. Or may they prove again and again that thou hast been their helper, and he hath helped that poor sinner hitherto, will help them all their journey through, and give them daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. But Lord, especially we plead for the young and the rising race. Lord, what a dark and evil day in which their lot is cast. Remember them, Lord, we plead. Keep them tender of heart and mind and conscience. Keep them in the hour of temptation. Keep them close to thee. Oh, may they know what it is to say like one of old. So did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. And so to help them, we plead. Go before them, manage all, and as certainly as they grow up and go on into life, make ways where there seems to be no way. Perhaps they find at times many a temptation, and many an adversary, and many a foe. Lord, we look back to that time when we were in that same position, and certainly it seemed that Satan was stirred up, and he moved this one and that one to try and bring us into sin, and to do all manner of evil things, and to speak in a way which was not right. But all we had to prove, do we not? Help is laid upon one that is mighty. And we had to prove, do we not? Kept by the power of God. So we plead to keep them by thy almighty power. But give parents that wisdom and knowledge and understanding as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Give them wisdom, Lord, we plead. And thy word declares, as it not in James' epistle, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And so to remember each one of the young ones, and the parents, and the very little one, the babes in arms, and those that are going on into life. Ah, may it please thee. In this day in which evil is called good and good is called evil, that thou wouldest keep them, hedge them about, be a wall of fire about them. And to remember any in a peculiar, particular, individual circumstances, they feel that no one understands their case. No one knows, no one seems to be know anything about their situation. And perhaps they feel to walk in a lonely way, but he knoweth. Ah, dear Job of old, and now we've rejoiced in the fact that that account of Job is left in holy writ, in thy word, and it shall be there to the end of time. But there, even Job, in his very tried circumstances and darkness, but all he could say there, he knoweth. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Remember any in their afflictions, we plead for them, that thou didst sanctify the path and sweeten all the pain. Bless the means used and available in our day. Oh, we're thankful for them. And even this one person, we're thankful for those means in our day. But we would not just take them as the world takes them, but we would seek thy blessing upon them. And we would seek that thou didst sanctify it. May the path of affliction be proved to be a path of blessing and favour. Ah, yes, we trust we've proved it again and again. And may each one prove it. Lord, it is in paths of affliction and trial and tribulation. We prove certainly how wretched and ruined and poor and undone we are, but how precious Christ is. Ah, we can say then, he is precious. He is the altogether lovely. He is that one that loveth at all times and a brother born for adversity. We proved it so. May each one prove it so. Lord, remember also thy true church, both here and elsewhere in this land and nations abroad. Oh, what a day it is. We're ministered and brought low. As causes of truth, how few enter into the courts of the Lord in places. There's a falling away. Lord, we plead that thou wouldest yet build us up again according to thy most holy faith, that thou wouldest revive us. Lord, revive thy work. We often think of that petition of Habakkuk. And may we know what it is to plead for it in a personal way as well as a collective way. Revive thy work in the midst of our years. In the midst of our years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh, do revive us, Lord, we plead. Wilt thou not revive us again? And so we plead there might be a reviving, a building up. But do strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. Oh, we see the world creeps in and we mourn over it. Oh, we mourn over it. And if we mourn over it and it grieves us, how much more must it grieve the Holy Spirit? Oh, we plead then, do have mercy upon us and turn us once again, and we shall be turned. Yes, we read in Jeremiah, do we not? Ask ye after the old paths, and they said, we will not. That was a response in Jeremiah's day. And is it not so in our day? How solemn. How few ask after the old paths. But oh, we plead, may we be found amongst those that ask after the old paths. So we plead to keep us in that narrow way which leadeth unto life. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, we read, and few there be that find it. So we plead to remember the churches and people throughout this land and nation and nations abroad. And to remember also this guilty land. We seem to add sin and abomination to abomination. We add to our iniquities. Oh Lord, how solemn it is that these things are permitted by the law of the land. And if we're to speak publicly against these things, we can be made an offender, an offender. Oh, how solemn it is. Evil is called good and good is called evil. Lord, we plead then, have mercy upon us as a nation and show our leaders what they ought to do. Oh, show our leaders what they ought to do. Oh, thou canst turn their hearts. Thou canst break the hardest heart. And oh, we plead there might be yet a repealing of those laws which are so contrary to thy laws, contrary to thy ways. But, O Lord, may it please thee, stir us up likewise, so we might be found amongst those that sigh and cry unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. Oh, the abominations done in the land. So we plead, have mercy upon us. But, oh, we thank thee for thy mercy still. We've lacked nothing, each one of us personally, can we not say this day? We've been brought hitherto, our needs have been supplied. Yea, thou hast been better to us than all our fears. And now, O Lord, we come to that time when we would seek to speak according to thy word and according to the Spirit moving within. But, O Lord, we have to prove this. Man cannot live by bread alone, but it is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. O Lord, we plead then, break the bread of life unto us. Break the bread of life unto us. Grant unto us each, we plead, that there might be a crumb of mercy that may fall from the Master's table. A little sip from the well of salvation. But oh, if it could please thee, one or another might partake of those bounties. In the banqueting house, all that time of favour. Lord, we plead then, for the work is thine, and the power is thine. And now we would seek to fall into thy hands. Lord, whether we speak or whether we hear, grant unto this one then that door of utterance, and grant unto us each the hearing ears and the hearts of understanding. So we plead now for thy help. Pardon and forgive then our many sins, our failings and our shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious sin atoning blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1059. Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure unerring light, on thee my feeble soul I'd stay, which thou canst lead aright. Hymn 1059.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention. There are two verses which seem to have rested upon my spirit, and so I've mentioned them both. One is in Psalm 115 and one in 136. But in 115, the first verse, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." And then in the 136th Psalm, "Who remembered us in our," the 23rd verse, "who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever." And hath, well, going on, it goes in, does it not, into the next verse, "and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever." Ah, not unto us. Well, when we consider that work of grace, that plan of salvation, it has nothing to do with man. Man has no hand in it. He may think he has. He may think he has the power to accept or reject that which is of the salvation which came by Christ. But he has no power to raise himself from the dead, let alone to accept or reject. Do we know anything then of that wrought in our hearts by the Spirit? Whereby, yes, that one dead in trespasses and sins has been brought to that knowledge of it. Yes, wakened out of that sleep of death and brought to see that they're a sinner indeed and a sinner in need. Certainly that one that has brought to that where they have no hope in themselves and no help in themselves. For we read, do we not, in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, "It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God." It is a gift of God. Through his sovereignty. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. That's the sovereignty of God. But there's a number that no man can number. There's a number that no man can number, their names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that number that no man can number, God the Father gave to the Son. And did not the Son declare this? "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And so it shall. It shall be done. Not one shall be left out. Not one shall be left to make shipwreck of faith. Not one shall be left to perish in their sins. There shall come that time when they shall hear the voice of the shepherd. We read, often think of that, refer to that chapter in John's Gospel, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They shall hear his voice. This shepherd will call them by name." He's known them by name. Yes, we know their surname by the name of Israel. Those whom we have loved. The whole Israel of God. But he will call them by their name. "I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." So there's nothing that can be ascribed unto a man. Man, yes, he would like to have that free will to save himself or not, to believe or not to believe. And there are many that go along with it. But here we read, do we not? "Not unto us." Not unto us. Yes, it is so. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Not unto us. And who is this God that will have mercy? You read that psalm again. It is this God that's in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And yes, as we said, in the sovereignty of God, he hath pleased to say, he is pleased and before ever the world was formed, knowing that man would sin, he was pleased to say that there would be a salvation of a remnant. He would save that remnant of all mankind. And that remnant, yes, it is but a remnant of all that shall be born into the earth. But as we said just now, it's a number that no man can number. A number that no man can number. Oh, perhaps you feel, well, I can't come very far. I can't seem to come very far, but oh, where is your desire? Has there been that wrought in your heart by the blessed Spirit? Yes, it is by the Spirit, nothing else. It's not the man, the natural spirit of man, but by the blessed Spirit, the Spirit of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Takes up that abode in the sinner's heart. And begins that work there. And in that beginning of that work, there is a change of the heart and renewing the will and turning the feet to Zion's hill. There's a change wrought there, which is not something which will not be not known or noticeable. It will be noticeable. If there's no change, then I would hasten to think that it was not the work of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit working the heart of man will change the heart. There's no doubt about it. But in the initial beginning of that work, that one will feel to grope for the wall like the blind. Yes, you know what it is, like the babe that comes forth from the womb. It cries, but it knows it doesn't have that perception in the same way as what it does when it's older as to why it cries. But nevertheless, there comes forth that cry. There comes forth that cry, and the cry is a sign of life. And that cry is not unto a God that cannot do them any good. It is not unto a God of man's making. Their cry, is it not, unto the Lord God of all the earth, one that created the heavens and the earth, one that formed man upon the earth. That cry is wrought in the heart by the Spirit. It will not leave them to, the work of the Spirit will not bring them to cry to someone else or something else, or fall down before a God of man's making. The cry wrought in the heart by the work of the Spirit will cause that one to cry unto God Most High. And all in the vestry, as I entered into the vestry, I sat down and, well, perhaps with a measure of trembling. And sometimes we feel, how can we speak and how will we live to speak? But all my mind went to those blind men. And I turned to it briefly. And perhaps you feel, well, like these blind men cannot see. But there's that rot in the heart. And it caused them to cry out, did it not? Thou, Son of David, have mercy on me. Yes, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And so they cried out for one they could not see. And yet there was that wrought in them and a knowledge that this one could do them help, do them good.
Be of a help to them. Have mercy upon them. Ah, do you feel to me then like those two blind men? Is that wrought in your heart by the Spirit? And yet, you still feel to be in that place of darkness and distress and perplexity. And yet you long for one to deliver, long for one to sound to you, I am thy salvation. Ah, the Lord didn't forsake those two that were blind. Thou son of David, they cried out. And it speaks in that way, crying. So therefore it was necessity. Necessity, great necessity, great need. Oh, what a mercy. The foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Necessity. Thou, son of David, have mercy on us. Yes, there was two of them. But in that singular way, what a mercy have been brought to that. Thou, son of David, have mercy on me. Look upon this poor sinner that feels me so blind and wretched and ruined and undone. Ah, with all my wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Ah, yes, men of low estate. Yes, when I thought upon those psalms, yes, that we read, do we not? Who remembered us in our low estate? Well, you read that psalm again. But it speaks of the children of Israel and their deliverance out of Egypt. And you know when the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage. And the more they cried, it seemed heavier burdens were laid upon them by Pharaoh. Heavier burdens, burdens that almost seemed impossible to bear. But it didn't stop them crying. Ah, yes. You'll find likewise when there's that work of grace in your heart and as I trust it was in mine. You'll find like oneself. You'll try to strive and to please and to do and to satisfy the law that testifies against you. And what have you found thus far? The more I strove, the more I strive against sin's power, I sin and stumble. But the more, yes, the more you strive, and the law seems to demand more. Ah, yes, and you not only does the law demand more, but it seems you find you've added another sin, and therefore there's that added death. You become a greater debtor. Ah, bankrupt. My mind went in the early hours of the morning to that hymn. I think it's Hearts, is it not? Well, there's a couple of hymns. I think one was also Gadsby's, as this one of Hearts. But all, perhaps you proved this, in 837... the hymn begins, repent, awaken souls, repent. Hear the good tidings God has sent, of sinners saved, of sins forgiven, and beggars raised to reign in heaven. But all, it goes on, and I come to the third verse in a moment. God sent his Son to die for us, die to redeem us from the curse. He took our weakness, bore our load, and dearly bought us with his blood. In guilt's dark dungeon, when we lay, in that place, yes, in that place of bondage, that place of bondage, no liberty. Oh, yes, no liberty. And longing for that freedom, as we said, like those blind men, they long for that sight to be brought into that sight by knowledge, that full sight, and in that way spiritual sight. If we look at it spiritually, and you long to see one who gave his life a ransom. You long to see one, the Lamb of God once slain. You long to see one in the Garden of Gethsemane and upon the cross at Calvary. It is no more a notion. You want these things to be known and felt, and to by with the eye of faith to see. With the eye of faith to see, but still you feel to be in guilt's dark dungeon. When we lay, mercy cried, spare and justice slay. But Jesus answered, set them free. And pardon them and punish me. Ah, he remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Ah, yes, that mercy which came through Christ, which came by his sufferings, by his death and by his merits, yea, by his rising again from the tomb. For without that rising again, there would be no justification. But he rose again. He rose again. Ah, risen indeed. He hath redeemed us from our enemies. And perhaps at the moment you still feel to be pursued by the enemy. And the enemy threatens to overtake, like it was with the children of Israel. Ah, when they entered into those waters, the Almighty God caused those waters to part. The enemy pursued after them. Ah, yes, not that felt liberty, but you still feel to be in that low place, that low estate. But all those cries unto the Lord. I know I often speak concerning that Psalm 107. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Do you know what it is then to cry unto the Lord in your soul trouble? Your distress of soul. Ah, with your burden of sin. Regarding the law that testifies against you and says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. Ah, yes, the soul that sinneth it shall die. A man doesn't naturally want to hear these things. But all that one that's brought into that path, he longs to hear for that which, well, as we said concerning that hymn, in guilt's dark dungeon when we lay, mercy cried, spare. And justice slay, but Jesus answered, set them free and pardon them and punish me. And it was this verse that brought me to this hymn. Salvation is of God alone, life everlasting in his Son, and he that gave his Son to bleed will freely give us all we need. Believe the gospel and rejoice. Sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. His goodness praise, his wonders tell. Who ransomed our poor souls from hell. Ah, I believe that's what this psalmist could speak of. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Yes, you know what it is for the Satan, which is a heathen, to pursue after you from time to time, and yes, in that warfare, where is now their God? And no doubt when the children of Israel entered into those waters which the Almighty God caused to part asunder, and it seemed like the enemy was going to overtake them, perhaps they thought the same. And the adversary whispered in their ear, yea, not only whispered, but sounded aloud in their ear, where is now their God? Where is now your God? But what did Almighty God do for the children of Israel there? Didn't leave them to the hand of Pharaoh and all those chariots that would have overtaken them naturally. took the wheels off. Do they drive heavily? Yea, were they not brought to the other side? And there came that moment when Almighty God caused those waters to return, and it consumed that enemy that threatened to destroy. Consume them. Covered them. Swept them away. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And so, like in Psalm 136, yes, it enumerates, does it not, those helps that the Lord God Almighty gave unto the children of Israel. And they were brought, were they not, into the wilderness? Yes, they were brought, delivered from the Egyptians that pursued them. That enemy that threatened to overtake them. But they still had that wilderness and that path to walk through. That path to walk through. And what is that path which the Lord's people have to walk through? Ah, yes, and perhaps your old nature and Satan within saying, well, what I've heard is not a pleasant path at all. For the word of God declares it is through much tribulation you shall enter the kingdom. And so it is. And so it is. According to the word of God it is. Ah, yes, and when we read concerning when sin entered and death by sin, we read, do we not, thorns also and thistles. A man was to labour by the sweat of his brow, and it was to be so. But, oh, blessed be God, that one that gave himself a ransom. Oh, what a mercy. And how I've rejoiced in that, even more so over the past, well, 2 or 3 years at least. But oh, what a mercy that one, the Son of God, the Eternal Son, took upon himself not the nature of an angel, but the seed of Abraham, flesh and blood. Ah, yes, both body and soul, made like unto his brethren, and walked that lowly path here below, and was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yes, and in our unregeneracy we hid our faces from him. We saw no beauty in him that we should desire him. But all when brought as a sinner, and the Spirit working within, Christ was revealed to us as that one, a Saviour of sinners. But also as that path has been opened up to us, that path which he hath appointed for us, and have you not proved it likewise? What a mercy there is that one, that friend that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. Ah, he took part of the same frame that you and I have, yet without sin. Took part of the same frame. Ah, he is able to compassionate your case. He knows your frame and remembers that you are but dust. Remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Or have you proved then, yes, that one that has in measure given you a little hope, raised you up to a hope in his mercy, brought you out of nature's darkness, and now you find that path which is appointed, like it was then with the children of Israel. They had that wilderness, a journey to make. And yes, when you think of that path in the wilderness, if it was a path which would have been, as it were, as a crow flies, it would have been a short journey. But that path was to go here and there. And perhaps back again and forwards and back and forwards. It was not a straight path. It was not an easy path, and it was through tribulation. And it tried their faith. It tried their faith. And often it was, in that trial of faith, the Lord's people find its days of darkness and distress are their portion here below. But there is that one that remembered and remembers us still, remembers his people still in their lowest state. Yes, they were found in that lowest state in sin. And if they are found amongst those sheep of Christ's fold, they're often found in those places and those scenes of life which bring them to many fears, bring them into many, anxious thoughts. And whether you're like one I spoke to some little while ago, and he said, I've never known what it is to, I can't think how he put it now, but in speaking, I've never been cast down. I've never been cast down, I'm too busy to be cast down. But all of you found like this poor sinner, and many saints, well, I believe every one of those saints in glory have rejoiced in those psalms and the portions of the word of God that have come right where they are. When they prove he remembers them in their lowest state. Yes, those times and seasons where they are cast down, they find that they walk in darkness and have no light. Some have no need of that portion in Isaiah chapter 49, I think it is. They have no need of it. But I feel they know more of that following verse. They walk in sparks of their own kindling. But we read in that, I believe it's in 49, the 49th chapter. But we read there, do we not? Now the 50th chapter. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. Well, when we think of Christ, what a day of darkness he had to bear. Bear on account of our sins, because he is bearing the sin of many. Made a curse for his people. What a day of darkness it was for him there as he hung upon the accursed tree. He is able to succor them that are brought into those places of darkness. He knows what darkness is. We cannot comprehend how dark it must have been for the Lord of life and glory that day when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? When that darkness came over all the earth. Not only that outward darkness that came over all the earth, but what it must have been in his soul. Because he is bearing the sin of his people, made a curse for them. The hiding of his father's face, day of darkness. Day of darkness and distress. Yes, that same one is able to succor them that attempted, succor them that know what days of darkness are. And yet they fear sparks of their own kindling. But oh, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This is a solemn ending there, is it not? Conclusion. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. If they're brought to the end of their days and know nothing more than sparks of their own kindling, it shall be a day of sorrow, eternal sorrow at the end of their days. But oh, what a mercy if the Lord's people know a little of this. Why art thou cast down on my soul? Yes, it's those times of distress, but it's because they've known the light. They've known the presence of their God. They've heard his voice. They've heard his voice. He's drawn near unto them. He's been unto them that refuge, but ah, days of darkness. But he remembers them in their low estate, comes right where they are, but there is that path, and there is that waiting upon the Lord. Why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. What for? How will it be? Who is the health of my countenance when he lifts up the light of his countenance upon him? You read it in that following Psalm 43. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And you read that in Psalm 4. Precious psalm that is, Psalm 4. Who will show us any good? That one that walks in darkness, a tribe path. Tribe path. Who will show? There will be many that say, who will show us any good? And perhaps in that way, yes, like the psalmist had to prove, did he not? Who will show us any good? But all longing for the Lord to lift up the light of his countenance upon him, but all finding that there is an oppressor, finding there is one that their right hand resists them. Where is now their God? But who will show us any good? Where is now thy God? But all that one, the desire is, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. And then this in retrospect. What a mercy when the Spirit comes back to the Spirit again, the Holy Spirit. That one that dwells within. That one, the blessed Comforter. Yes, dwells with poor sinners. Helps them in their fears. Helps them in their distresses. Yes, and remembers them in their dark places, comes where they are. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, remembrance of those former times, and it gives that strength to call again upon their Lord. That's the Spirit moving within. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. And then this glorious prospect. There shall come that time when there'll be known that peace of God. That peace of God which passeth all understanding. And what a mercy when those times come. And they do come. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Not unto us. And what a mercy then when that song of praise is drawn out of the very soul. When that song of praise is wrung out of the heart, not come from the lip, but from the heart and the soul. Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. For thy mercy. Yes, mercy to save. But mercy to help, mercy to uphold, mercy to strengthen, mercy to deliver, and for thy truth's sake. Yes, these things are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. These things cannot be taken away. The devil cannot take these things away, but the Lord's people prove them. When the Lord speaks, who then can make trouble? When the Lord speaks through his word, it lifts up their weak hands and confirms their feeble knees. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And so it is in those times and seasons when, yes, whether it's a path of affliction, trials, whatever that trial may be, and those afflictions can be body or circumstances, But whatever that is, the Lord is pleased to bring it upon us. But when those cries go forth, whether it is in that first place, like those that were blind, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." Or those times and things when that poor son is brought back to that place again, lowered his feet. "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Remember me in my low estate. Remember me in my weakness, in my fears. Ah, remember me in my darkness. Remember me in all my unbelief. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon me." Ah, yes. And then, what a mercy. There's that time of point, he does. He doesn't leave that poor one in his darkness. He doesn't leave that poor one in his fears. And oh, some little while ago now, the Lord was pleased to bring back into my mind this precious truth, portion of the Word of God. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Ah, yes, and you read that a little further down in that chapter in Isaiah, in the 41st chapter. It speaks to the worm Jacob's and the men of Israel. And how I've rejoiced in the fact that it speaks to worm Jacob's, where the Lord comes right where that poor one is, the worm Jacob. "Fear not, thou worm Jacob." And then collectively, as regards the church, which is Israel, "and ye men of Israel." And there's this repetition, repeating it. "I will help thee, saith the Lord." And then this blessed reminder, "thy Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel." The Holy One of Israel. And then it goes on, does it not? This one in their low estate, the Lord comes near to them. "Behold, I'll make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small." Oh, sometimes the Lord's people are brought to those places where mountains and difficulties seem to hem them in on every side. Trouble after trouble, difficulty after difficulty. One thing after another, proving like one declared, "Do not, man is born unto troubles, as sparks fly upward." Ah. "Behold, I make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away. The whirlwind shall scatter them. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord." Oh, it comes back to that. "Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. And thou shalt glory, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none." When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none. Oh, who remembered us in our lowest state? You've been brought there, poor trembling one. You're brought to that place. You feel like that one described, seeking water and there is none. Ah, tongue faileth for thirst. But it doesn't leave it there, poor sinner. "I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I'll open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I'll make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittar tree and the myrtle and the oil tree, and I'll set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of who? Not the hand of man, not the strength of your arm, but all this, the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Ah, coming back to this, does it not? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Yes, he remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Leave it there. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school's at Bethany this afternoon. Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Charles Woolboys is expected to preach. And hopefully he'll address the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 533. How condescending and how wise is the eternal God. On wings of love from heaven he flies, the church to buy with blood. Hymn 533.
Oh, dear Lord, what a mercy. There's one that remembers poor sinners in their lowest state. Yes, their fallen state. Gave his life a ransom for them, to redeem them from the hand of the enemy and save them from the wrath to come. But also that one that is able to succor them and strengthen them, help them as they journey in this vale of tears. Remembers us in our low estate, comes right where we are. Thou art the same yesterday, today and forever. And as thou hast done that for those saints of old, thou dost from generation to generation, dost thou not? May we each prove it so. That there is help laid upon one that is mighty. Strength, everlasting strength, from one. It's imparted, is it not, and made known to those that feel their weakness, that feel oftentimes weary with the journey. They prove those everlasting arms of the God of Jeshurun, who rides upon the heaven in their help, and his excellency upon the skies. But the proving of it, and blessed be God when we do prove it. And then we put the crown upon thy head. We put the crown upon thy head. We're able to praise thee. There's no glorying in man, no glorying in flesh, but glorying in thee alone. And so to remember us now, we plead this day, and bless that which is of thee this morning. Cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do be pleased to grant help again this evening, and strength sufficient for the hour. Lord, thou knowest each one's need and each one's path. Lord, we plead for them. May they likewise prove a blessed comforter. Remember us in our lowest state. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.